The wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code SPREAKER to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and I'm actually quite lonely in studio today. It's pretty sad, frankly. But while I'm lonely, I'm not alone. I have Chris with me on the line. Chris, what's going on, man? I know you're coming at us from the station. So, again, punching the clock, working hard. Well, because football, we keep going over that here, of course, on NGSC Sports, NGSCSports.com, of course, the website. Feel free to go by and, you know, maybe you want to hit us up on Spreaker or iHeartRadio. Check out the mock draft that happened this past Thursday that I hosted. Trust me, I stayed out of the way mostly because I have no business talking draft. I just mostly spoke about NFL needs and let the mounds of knowledge fill in the gaps as to possible people. I mean, it was good times all the way around. Chris, though, I have to tell you, warn you up front, we talked a little bit about this before the show. Breshad Perryman, UCF's own, was not drafted in the first round. Do you believe our panel needs their heads examined?
Based on what the team needs, what they think is more important, him coming out, originally they were saying middle round to third and fourth round. I mean, he ran at 4.24. 40 at his pro day because he didn't run anything at the combine. So, I mean, it's what you expected a little bit, but, you know, the hype he's getting, it is starting to phase off a little bit. But, you know, it's even if he doesn't go first round, he's going to be in the probably like the top five picks for the second round.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation there. I mean, the workout warrior tag has been put on him. Don't know if it's true, but, I mean, other quote-unquote workout warriors have shown promise, and others, well, haven't. So, you know, our guy Weasel Weez, of course, is not here today. He had a death in his family, so of course, condolences and prayers to he and his family as well. But he called me last night, leaving what at first sounded like an obscene phone call on my voicemail. I wasn't exactly sure what he was trying to do. Then I listened a little bit closer, and he was saying, Tebow, Tebow, Tebow. I'm like, why on earth is he doing the Tebow into my phone? And then I started hearing it on the radio this morning, and it popping up everywhere. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about it by now, Chris. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I actually heard about it yesterday, and I was thinking, oh, man, what a great show it's going to be with Weasel here with Tebow and everything. He's going to be all pumped up, excited, his man crushes back. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with him between Tebow and Johnny, though. I mean, that might be too much for him. So, you know, the Eagles for the Browns, I don't remember what the schedule is. I don't have a computer in front of me. The Eagles for the Browns this year, I mean, he might just...
Whoa!
His head might just explode on that one.
It's crazy. It's so much going on. Eagles, Browns.
You can't handle the truth.
So much going on there. Of course, they do release the schedule tomorrow night on NFL Network. But here's the thing. I heard Eric Kusilius talking about it this morning. I listened to him on my drive to work, and you know, use that to kind of take the thermometer for the lamestream media at large. And not that Eric Kusilius is lame. I actually kind of like him, but that's a different topic. The question seems to be offered is like, why do people root against Tim Tebow. And first of all, I don't know anybody who outright roots against Tim Tebow. Well, I can think of one guy, but that's a different topic. Not many people actually root against Tim Tebow. I think they're anti the coverage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does. It's just the style of play he is as a quarterback. I mean, look at how he did in Florida. I mean, he was one of the most completion percentage in history of the college game because of what they ran, what the type of offense they ran in college, and then what that related to in NFL. I mean, he's missing wide receivers by like 20 yards when they're wide open. So, I mean, I think most of it probably was because of they're trying to fix his throwing mechanics and leaving it the way it is. But, you know, I don't see how people I think, just don't like the hype that comes with Tebow instead of, you know, the play itself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, see, here's the thing, and I get the defense, the argument supporting Tim Tebow. He was a success in Denver. If you look at the win loss record, he wasn't exactly a failure with the Jets because they didn't play him, and why they even really acquired him in the first place. There was only kind of a half-hearted effort to really have him even on the team. Then there was the whole punt protector thing. I get that part, but is there any reason to? I mean, granted, this is also a world where Jimmy Clausen has a starting job, or excuse me, a backup position on the regular, and has for what, 6 years? So, you know, Tebow getting a job as a third stringer bugs me a lot less than Jimmy Clausen being a top backup in Chicago. But I digress there. But I mean, I'll just call it what it is. If let's say for whatever reason, and assuming they actually have him on the roster opening day, Sam Bradford goes down again. Stranger things have happened. Would you rather see Mark Sanchez, Matt Barkley, or Tim Tebow?
If you're an Eagles fan.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if you're an Eagles fan, you want to see what Tim Tebow can offer if he is on the roster during the game.
Right.
If you're the fan of playing against the Eagles, you probably want to see Mark Sanchez or
Barkley.
So the Brantley, Barkley, or Barkley over there, because you know, I think you'd rather have a chance of Sanchez throwing complete passes than Tebow breaking off one or picking three guys with him.
Yeah,
like
maybe
he has done in the past. I think you'd rather see Tebow. I mean, you'd probably rather see Sanchez if you're rooting for the other team.
Wow, you know, and you got to say Barkley in reference to Philadelphia, because Barkley in Philadelphia is a basketball association, thanks to Sir Charles. Just throwing that out there too. But anyways,
I was thinking Brantley, not Barkley.
I can't help you there. But yeah, right. And you made the good point that we're all assuming already that he's going to be on the roster. Personally, at this point, as not bothered as I am to see him get some sort of a shot, by the same token, I don't think he's going to make the squad. Does anybody really think he's going to make the squad? I don't think he's going to make the squad. That's just where I am. I know Weasel would be sad and dismayed for me to say this, but, I mean, that's just where I am. That's just what I think is going to happen. You know, he'll give it a shot, and then he won't make it. I don't know. That's just where I am.
Well, I mean, you got to look at the offense that Chip Kelly runs over there. I mean, he runs a spread offense over there. You know, that college fast-paced spread offense.
Oh, yeah.
Which Tebow excelled in.
Sure.
And then also he does a lot of play-action passes for Chip Kelly. And Tebow was, you know, it's where most of his completions were off of, were play-action passes.
Yep.
And the year that he was with the Broncos, I mean, for play-action, he threw 8 touchdowns and 1 interception.
And I'll even
off of play-action.
I'll even add on to that when you look at the fact that that running back core now also features DeMarco Murray, also features Ryan Matthews, and a very versatile tight end core with Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. So, interesting. Now, if you're Riley Cooper, you might be a little irked that your that your production is likely to go way down if Tebow's in the game. But again, that's assuming he makes the roster, which I don't think he will do. That's just me.
Yeah, but also no one knew who Demaryius Thomas was either until Tebow as well. Or Eric Decker.
Well,
if that matters too.
That's Kyle Orton's fault. Let's be real for 30 seconds, okay? Well,
I know, but I'm just saying. Tebow hit Demaryius Thomas in stride on that one where he stiffed arm the Steelers corner.
That was a great throw.
And was Ike Taylor or whatever, and then took it to the house. And no one knew who Demaryius Thomas was, really. Eric Decker was hurt at the time, who's the leading receiver. So, I mean,
I don't know.
Riley Cooper, that, I mean, really the best receiver they have on the team, I think, is their tight end, Zach Ertz. Now,
wow. Making the Zach Ertz declaration as the best receiver on the team. I don't have the numbers in front of me nor the film to disprove you at the moment. So maybe it's right. I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to work it out in my head how I feel about that. But, okay. I mean, I see it. But, again, I don't think he's going to make the team. That's just where I am. I'm sorry. Call me a negative Nancy if you'd like, but that's just where I live. Anyways, enough about that. So, I mean, we're here to talk about the team needs of the NFC and AFC North. Look, to be clear, guys, I mean, I know that Tebow isn't in the North, but, you know, we had to talk about it a little bit. And let's go ahead. Let me jump in here and get my notes up. Let's go ahead and break it down a bit. Of course, we're going to start with the NFC, because I said so. No, I'm going to start with the NFC just simply because, well, the NFC has a lot of works in progress. That's a nice way to put it, don't you think, Chris? A lot of works in progress. So.
Yeah, that's almost pretty much the whole league in general in the NFC.
Dang, bringing the whole conference down. I mean, unless you happen to be a member of the NFC West, which is actually, I mean, I don't know. The NFC West isn't on the decline. I won't say that. But anyways.
They do have one team that's a work in progress right now.
Shut up.
There actually maybe two. I guess you can say the Rams are in there.
Hey, well, we'll see what happens with the Rams in their quarterback spot. But, oh, anyways, we'll get into that more later. Let's go ahead and break it down. So the first team I have in the NFC North happens to be formerly known as the Monsters of the Midway, and yet now are not. They only look monstrously bad on the Midway of late for reasons that I honestly can't exactly fathom, because I think they're intangible. I think they're all mental weakness plays. But for the Chicago Bears, Chris, what do they need?
Well, I think they need a receiver. Brandon Marshall is traded away. They need linebackers, safety, and offensive line. I think their defensive line can be pushed back a little bit, just because they have some young guys there in the middle, and you know they also have Jared Allen as well. But offensive line, and then of course quarterback, maybe one of those two.
See, I come out a lot different than you on this. First of all, I mean, look, not for nothing, I get that Jared Allen used to be a big deal, and now not so much. I'm not saying he was bad. I'm not saying that he's a waste of time. It's nothing like that. He was having to do too much, and I can see if you want to go ahead and let your young guys develop on the D-line personally. I think anything linebacker and defense, pass rush-wise, helps you. Also, the offensive line being upgraded certainly can't hurt you. Losing Brandon Marshall is huge. I'm not going to act like it's not, but Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett aren't exactly garbage weapons. And when you consider that all the talent that's in the wide receiver spot in the draft, they could get another rookie and get a potential reboot. John Fox coming in here, you know, maybe he has the leadership to do it. I mean, I'm kind of trying to look at this positively, because let's be clear, the Bears aren't really in a good position to get rid of Cutler right now. But by the same token, if his mind is right, he isn't a bad quarterback. It just kind of tanked, I think, more on you know, for lack of a better word, psychology than on lack of talent. But by the same token, I could see why you would put a quarterback as a team need because, well, when it comes time for Cutler to leave, you want to make sure you upgrade and don't leave yourself thinking, hell, at least we had Cutler at one point and sometimes he was good. But I don't see. I like their running back position. Safety, I could take or leave. I like that they have Tim Jennings and Kyle Fuller as a combination. I'm with you on the linebacker thing. I think they need to be able to rush the passer more, you know, especially facing Aaron Rodgers, facing a team that features, you know, Calvin Johnson twice a year on it, being thrown at by the Detroit Lions quarterback is currently eluding me. That is cheesing me.
Matt Stafford?
Thank you. All I could think of was Matt Simpson, and I knew that wasn't right. I don't even know who Matt Simpson is. I'm sure there's a Matt Simpson anywhere. But anyways, Matt Stafford, thank you. You know, get after him, get affect that passing attack as well. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think a coaching change was the best thing the Bears could have actually gone for as a franchise. And because that has happened, the whole thing's a big question mark, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, Dalton Fox brings that defense, you know, I think it's more of a defensive-minded thing, and he's also not afraid to run the ball as well. So I think that's going to help them out there, especially with how defensive-minded he is. He can concentrate on the linebacker. I think that's really, they need to just really work on linebackers right now. The other positions there, but like I said, the receiver they need to address in the draft. Yeah, Alshon Jeffery's good. Martellus Bennett's good. But, you know, when you get a presence of Brandon Marshall on the side, too, getting double coverage, it, you know, leaves them better set. Now that Brandon Marshall is in there, one of them will get going to get double covered.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't really drop Cutler either. You know, offensive line, just try to protect them. Maybe give them a little more time back there.
I'll agree with that. I mean, they're not facing Ndamukong Suh twice a year anymore, which by default, that O-line automatically gets better. But instead, they have to face Hill Odinata, so damn it, that's only a slight diminishment. Nick Fairley also out of the division. I'm not ready to anoint the Bears, but I think it's all on the success of the regime change, and B, you know, what you're going to get out of Cutler, right? I mean, obviously that's the deciding thing. This is going to be one of the teams going into predictions in that first week in September, where I honestly feel like I'm going to have a lot of struggling, a lot of confusion as to what their record's going to be and all that other kind of happy stuff. So I don't know. Anyways, that's where I'm at on that. Next team up, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I dig that they're behind Teddy Bridgewater. It at least gives them one less thing to worry about. I honestly don't think Adrian Peterson is going anywhere. And even if he does, McKinnon and Asiata as a running back duo weren't that bad, to be honest. But I'll put it this way, Chris. I know they got Mike Wallace, and I know they have Cordero Patterson, although how there he actually is a matter of some contention. I got it listed here that their biggest needs, I should say, are pass rush, the defensive front as a whole, and wide receivers. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, yeah, the front four, they need to solidify. And also, I think they, I said it before a couple weeks ago, with the Cordero Patterson project up there, I mean, they said coming out, you know, he has potential. You know what I mean, what I say about potential.
It means you suck
so
right
the,
now.
The experiment doesn't work right. It hasn't worked right now. I say they should cut ties, and their first-round draft pick should be a wide receiver. So what better person to get would be Devontae Parker, the wide receiver from Louisville. You know, Teddy Bridgewater's favorite target two years ago.
You know he'll be campaigning for it.
Parker and Mike Wallace on there as the outside. Plus, I mean, they got a couple other receivers, right, and then another one I put in my mind right now who could fill that role. So, I mean, really, they should just try to use Cordarrelle Patterson, even just as like a punt returner, and really, like, if they were going to keep him. But I would still draft. My number one pick would be that, because I don't think they need a corner that bad, like other people are saying, oh, they're going to draft a corner or a safety. I think they're good in their secondary. If they get a concentrate on the front four, then you can see how good their secondary is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way you do about their secondary. I mean, they got a good crew. I dig Harrison Smith as a safety. I mean, in this league where safeties have become so rare, he's a good one. Is he like, you know, John Lynch level? No, but he's pretty good. I like what he does with that defense. Sharif Floyd is and Chad Greenway are really the only two they have up front on defense. That's a place to concentrate. You can sell me on the receiver concept as well. I mean, I can't speak to Devontae Parker's game particularly. I haven't watched enough film for that. I mean, I did watch the FSU Clemson game, but I mean, you know, I don't know that that was a good case study for what he's going to do in the NFL. But, man, I definitely agree with you on this. Drafting a corner for this squad in the first round, I don't know that it's the right move unless you're going to pick, quote, by the board, and he's your player ranked that high in the draft. And, you know, if you happen to have an abundance of pass coverage in this division, again, knowing for a fact you're facing Aaron Rodgers twice a year, knowing for a fact that you face Calvin Johnson twice a year, and, well, that's pretty much it now, but knowing that those four games are such threats in the air, I can see it. I can be persuaded that you make that pick, and with as deep as this draft is with edge rushers and receivers, you see you can come out with them later rounds. That doesn't bother me. There you go with that.
Yeah, man, I agree. It's just I think their secondary handled, you know, Aaron Rodgers decently last year as well. I mean, even Calvin Johnson. You can only do so much. So, I mean, you just need, really, with those teams, you need enough offensive firepower to keep up with them. So you might as well go after a receiver there in the first round.
Yeah, and so you don't rely entirely on Bridgewater's evolution to improve your offense. That's a good point, too. So, anyways, moving on to the next team on the list, the Detroit Lions. You know, I got to tell you, Chris, as much as the Lions, I mean, heck, I just did it earlier, that as much as anyone labels them as just Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson, I think that's safe to say that that's kind of an underrating of this group. I mean, where do you shake out on that?
I think it is. There's another receiver over there. I had a big year last year with Golden Tate coming over from Seattle.
Yep.
He was a good addition there for the Lions. Really, I think they could use a good tight end. Well, no, they got a tight end last year, too.
Eric Ebron. But he got hurt, so.
Right. So, I mean, if he's coming back and everything, they got a good tight end there. Really, I think they need to concentrate still on defense.
I'll agree.
Maybe another offensive lineman could use a running back.
See, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that the running back core they have there is great, and if they happen to get another one, that there's anything wrong with that. But I like Joique Bell and Theo Reddick. I think that's a good running game to rest your hat on. If running is your secondary choice, which it is for this group, I like that support group. Their O-line, of course, you could always use a little more beef, but in their case, I don't think that they are that bad considering what they face on a regular basis. They zoomed in and got Haloti Ngata to fill the gap at the defensive tackle spot, so really, they're only down Nick Fairley, in my opinion, there. Still a weakened defensive line, but I got to tell you, the secondary, as always, is where I'm most concerned. Believe it, Rasheen Mathis is their like best known corner name. Dude's 13 years into the league. I mean, I don't know, dude. If you want a team that needs to draft a defensive back, that would be it. I think the main argument for the Vikings drafting a defensive back is so they can do it ahead of the Lions and keep the Lions weak in passing defense. I don't know. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta look at what the Chicago Bears when they dropped Kyle Fuller last year, and his first three games last year he had three interceptions. So I mean, it's a good pickup with them picking him in the first round. So you know, I think the Lions need to look at that because they've not really addressed the corner, you know, area for the last couple of years. So that, and maybe, I'd say maybe another defensive tackle, because remember, Elodie Nada's coming from a 3-4 defense, and you're going to put him into a 4-3.
I think he'll find a way, Chris. I really will.
I know he'll find a way. I'm just saying it actually probably even help him out better now that he's on a 4-3 than a 3-4.
Especially his
he's getting
age.
Up there, and he's getting up there in age, but still, you need to get another young defensive tackle to learn from him, because you know he's only has a few more years left.
Say, you know what would be cool is if they had this thing where you can draft players to play onto your team, huh? So maybe defensive tackle is, I mean, I'll put it this way. What I have on my notes, and tell me if you agree with this. What I have on my notes right here for the Lions is anything defense is what they need to draft. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
Boom. Sure, we know each other for almost three decades, but that still doesn't make me feel any less happy. Anyways, so let's go ahead and wrap it up here. In the NFC North with the defending champions, or thanks to a horrible defense, the Green Bay Packers, who should have, in my opinion, made the Super Bowl. And did, actually, I don't know, maybe it should have been the Cowboys. I don't know. It depends entirely on who you ask. It's difficult at this point. Anyways,
you can say it was Lions then. You're going to keep going back.
Well, and the whole thing was blown in the Super Bowl because of Pete Carroll anyway, so... Let's just redo the whole damn playoffs. Let's go. Anyway. No, but so with the Packers, you know, not to seem repetitive, but in my particular case, you could show me a running back maybe, but I put anything defense as the needs for the Packers as well. All they really have is Clay Matthews. That impresses me. I know they have, I believe Sam Shields is a corner. That's a big deal on that defense. He's pretty good. But overall, I mean, not that ha-ha Clinton Dix is bad. Any excuse to say his name is a good one. But overall, I'm not hyped about this defense even remotely. What do you say? Oh, yeah, Julius Peppers is there. That's how bad this defense is Julius Peppers is on it, and I don't notice. So, I don't know. Chris?
Yeah, I'd say anything on defense they need, maybe more offensive line. I think the running backs are fine with James Starks and Eddie Lacy. I think that's a fine compliment to Aaron Rodgers, especially the way Eddie Lacy was running there at the end of the season last year.
That's true.
They brought their receivers back. So at least they got to hold on to them. So I'd say defense is the main concern with them. Especially the front seven is where they need to work on.
Well, hey, there you go. And I know we kind of skipped over it with the Vikings because I wanted to kind of get it out of the way here. But going back to it, Adrian Peterson is reinstated. And they're at that point where they're trying to find a home. It's been alleged that things are rocky between the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. Which, I mean, we're obviously not in the locker room, so we can't speak to that. But... You know, there's an article out there by our own G. Stelio listing the top six landing spots for one Adrian Peterson. All in all, my personal opinion is I don't see him leaving Minnesota just because of all the contract stuff that would happen. There's too much that would need to go a certain direction for Adrian Peterson to leave. So I think he's staying in Minnesota, frankly. What do you say?
I don't think the team's gonna release him. support. I think they should, kind of cut ties with them a little bit. They showed that they do have a decent running back with Asiata there. He doesn't want to be in Minnesota anymore anyway, and he might sit out, whatever, you don't know. I just think with the publicity, how bad it was with the Vikings, they did the right thing originally last year, so I'd say they'd try to see what they can get for him.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know they're going to try to get what they can for him. That's the point, but I think there are too many strings attached with any deal that they could make. The Cardinals won't take him because his salary number's too high, okay? I don't think Adrian Peterson wants to go and play for the Raiders. I don't think the Cowboys are willing to pay his contract number. And from what his agent seems to be saying, the chances of him restructuring his deal, not a likelihood. Although I've heard it floated that him restructuring and playing for the Patriots is also on the table. I don't know. I doubt it. I think that's a conspiracy theory, personally. But I hear what you're saying. Like I said, I just think there's too many walls to be scaled for this deal to happen. But let's go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll wrap this up, and we'll be back in about 60 seconds. Of course, you're listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. The wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code SPREAKER to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. You know, I don't know exactly why I had to go this direction with the Autumn Thunder again. I mean, well, first of all, because it's awesome. There's reason number one. But I mean, maybe it's because, like, look, I know it's NHL playoffs, which, I mean, hey, look, I spent time watching some NHL playoffs this past weekend. Hockey's awesome. I respect hockey players. I respect the game of hockey. Good times all the way around. Cannot front on any of that. But I need to play that to get some football back in my mind. I'll put it this way. I know the best reason why I had a kid now, with my daughter turning one this week, is so I have something to do when it's not football season. I think that's worked out really well, that I hang out with my daughter when it's not football season, and then I take her with me to watch games on Sunday at the L House. So, I mean, it's not, look, can you argue with me, Chris? It sounds like it's parenthood at its finest, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was funny because on Saturday I was teaching my kids how to run routes the proper way the other day too in the house, because we've been painting our family room, so it was in the house. I'm like, I'm working in a small yard area, let's just go outside and do it. And so I was teaching them how to properly run routes. So
see, now for everyone out there who wouldn't know, this isn't shocking, because Chris has already taught both his kids, both his daughter and his son, how to form tackle correctly, like it's a model. He's a model for the heads up program in the NFL or something. So him teaching his kids to run routes, I mean, you know, he taught plenty of college kids how to run routes when he was playing in intramurals. I'm just saying, but anyway.
Yeah, my wife doesn't get mad because I threw her the ball purposely so my son could tackle her, and she didn't like that. She didn't like kids tackling each other. So I got to try to do the route, so
Tell her it's part of the game. Anyways. Oh, man. You know, so let's go ahead. Let's get into it because we got a lot of stuff to talk about with this side of it, in my humble opinion. We'll jump right to it. First of all, the AFC North now on the docket. Jumping right to it. Ravens team needs. Now, I know I'm that guy when it comes to this team, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Top Raven need quarterback, please. Anybody? Come on now. All right. Joe Flacco, seriously. Are you guys serial? Seriously. I mean, I've never been fond of Joe Flacco. He has one good postseason in the year 2013, but the 2012 season, postseason, wins the Super Bowl off of it on the backs of that defense, and then thoroughly demonstrates in this postseason why he isn't all that in a bag of chips. And then his defense gets mentally dumb and lets an ineligible receiver beat them. Not just on the field, but, I mean, they were in their heads whining about that for what seemed like the rest of the game and tried to pin it as an excuse, whatever. But I'm not buying. But for me, main needs for the Ravens, getting a quarterback who will replace Joe Flacco when he's eventually maligned, burned in effigy by this team. The receiver core needs work in my eyes. They had already lost Anquan Boldin after winning the Super Bowl. They have lost now Torrey Smith as well. I have no reason to believe in this team in the air at all. And their offensive line could probably use a touch-up as well. I don't think they're bad, but they're not what they used to be. And then I would also list a corner as a position of concern on that defense as well. Even with the loss of Haloti Ngata, they're not as good as they were, that defensive front, but they're still pretty darn good. They'll need to address replacing Terrell Suggs sooner than later because he's in his 13th year. But I don't know. Ravens, team needs. What do you got, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with the receiver one. This is where I would have Perryman going right there to compliment Steve Smith.
I think
they should go with a corner, with a receiver the first round, the Ravens, because of that need, how bad they need it. Flacco, there's no way they can get rid of Flacco right now with the contract they had signed 2 years ago. Running back with Forsett, I had him in fantasy last year, and that was a good pickup for me. I think he's found a role there with the team finally. You know, he's been around the league for, I think it's like his 15 and 7 years or something like that.
He's never been a bad back. He just hasn't really, I mean, he's just never been the main guy and often becomes a cap casualty. Well, now he is the main guy, and I think he's good enough to do it. I like what he does for that offense.
Right. I agree also. I mean, with the speed as well. You know, so I'd say maybe an offensive line that could use, I still think, you know, a defensive lineman because of Haloti Ngata parting ways, just get another big body there. And then also, I'd look for another corner, another linebacker.
See, I mean, like I said, when I look at the defensive front, at the names they got, I don't get worried. I just don't. I'm not going to say it's not a need. That being said, though, Chris, and I'll follow your vibe to this extent. Because the edge rusher talent is so profuse. How about that for a word? Profuse in in their talent. In other words, it's a deep edge rushing draft, right? I like that concept that they draft, a young edge rusher. Certainly not a first round guy, but you know, get somebody deeper where the drop off is relatively low because that position is deep. I can see it. It makes sense to me. I don't know. What do you stand on that?
Yeah, you know, getting edge rusher, you know, like a second or third round where they're picking, I can see that. Burning on the first round, all the top guys are going to be gone in the top 15 picks of the edge rushers.
Sure.
So they're not going to be picking yet anyway, so that's why I would address their biggest need first, which would be receiver.
Yeah.
because they, I mean, when you lose Torrey Smith, there's a big hole there. Yeah, granted, they had a bunch of receivers on the thing, but on the team, but a lot of them are like really no name. Can you name any other receivers on the Ravens? Besides Steve that's Smith? Not named Steve Smith.
Damn it. Dennis Pitta. Oh, wait. He's not a receiver. He's a tight end. Damn it. Jacoby Jones. No, wait. They got rid of him, too. Damn it. Torrey. No. Yeah, I'm hurting.
Kamar Aiken, who's an ex-UCF player. He's on their roster.
I do like Kamar Aiken. That's true.
That's the only reason why I know. And also, there's a guy that starts with a C. I can't pronounce his name. Some kind of Italian white guy or whatever. Campiero or something like that. Another receiver.
That's a quality guy. Other than that, some white guy.
So, I mean, other than that, you don't really need it. So they need a receiver, and they need to do it in the first round. That's why I think that's where I think Perryman will end up, since they're going to be, you know, picking late in the first round anyway. That's where I think Perryman will end up, and actually he'll be a good complement there with Steve Smith. And Steve Smith's, you know, going to be using a walker out there. How many years he's been in the league.
Yeah, and I was going to make that point, too. Like, first of all, look, he may not be winning a Man of the Year award, per se, just because he tends to talk the schmack, as the kids say. But I'm a Steve Smith guy. I think he's an excellent player. However, I have no reason to believe that he's going to play 16 full games of football in the coming season. He didn't play a full season this year, but he missed fewer games than I thought. So I'll give him credit to that. But as he gets older, he's going to miss more games. Kamar Aiken will still be a factor, I believe, but I don't think he's a number one. I don't think they have a number one receiver on that team today. And for that reason, I'm with you. Whoever it is, they need to hope for a Kelvin Benjamin / Sammy Watkins / Odell Beckham Jr. / John Brown breakout from this receiver that they draft. And that's why, I mean, they need guys that don't get swept up off the board. If there's a run on wide receivers, they're going to be in trouble. I don't think that'll happen. So, I mean, yeah. I agree with you that their main focus to open should be a top wide receiver if they can do it. But they're deep enough in the draft to where that boat may sail. Who knows? So, anyways, next up on the list of the AFC North teams, the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, biggest needs. Does anybody else in the room have quarterback? Because I do. anyways, beyond that, what else you got, Chris?
The other night, quarterback, and I'd still say receiver there up there in Cleveland as well.
Me too.
Maybe offensive line. They keep concentrating on their defense. I don't think their defense is a problem. I think they got a good defense. I think their defense is one of the strongest in the AFC North. But, you know, they always keep concentrating on the defense. But I like their defense. I just think they need an offense because I think the defense is just getting too tired and they just give up at the end of the game because they're tired. So I'd say they need to concentrate on offense, go quarterback, offensive line, receivers, and go from there.
What about this concept? What about at the tight end spot, replacing Jordan Cameron?
Yeah, they need that. I mean, he was a big presence last year. He was hurt a little bit. But 2 years ago, I mean, he had a good presence. Josh Gordon, he's, you know,
well, here's
coming in.
Yeah. Here's what I remember.
You need a receiver there.
Yeah. I mean, that whole, I don't even want to get into the Josh Gordon thing because I'm honestly kind of confused about the timeline at this point. But when it comes to Jordan Cameron, I'll put it this way. He came back pretty much immediately after getting hurt and helped to win a football game shortly afterwards. So, I know that last year was essentially a throwaway for his career, but I feel like that's a big, big hole that they need to try to account for. I don't know. I think offense does need to be the concentration. Any spot there, although I think their O-line is still good. I mean, Joe Thomas is getting up there. I think he's at year 9 or year 10. and that group in general getting a bit longer in the tooth. So I can see getting maybe some solid pieces if you got guys on your board that are best available in the first round to go ahead and draft that position. But I'll go ahead and go on the record for saying anything offense is a good plan. But in the mock draft that happened Thursday night, let me ask what you think of this, Chris. The Browns have two first-round picks, the 12th and the 19th. They traded their two picks in the mock draft with the Titans at number two to go and get Marcus Mariota. I don't think that'll happen in real life, but what do you think of that as a concept?
Yeah, I don't see them having any real life going concept. So yeah, you're going after a quarterback, and then you still don't have a receiver for him to throw to. You don't have a tight end for him to bail him out.
That's true.
Their running backs are okay. They'll manage right now because they got so many other holes on their offense. But I just don't see them trading up to get Marcus Mariota. I don't see what's the benefit of it. They invested trading up to get Johnny Football last year. If you think that he's your player, then yeah, he has off-field issues. But if you saw something in him last year, you know, give him a shot. And if it doesn't work, wait till next year until next quarterback draft comes out. Because this quarterback, you know, I think this quarterback draft is weak. Next year might be a little better.
Yeah, I agree that this quarterback draft is great. I mean, I would argue that neither Mariota nor Jameis Winston are true first-round talents, but they're going to go in the first round because the drop-off in quarterback talent in this draft is so great, even below those two guys. I mean, Bryce Petty, I think you said that he was, what, like a third-round talent. He'll probably go in the second round just because he's the next best guy. Who knows?
Right. I think that's if the Cleveland wants to go after a quarterback, that's who they try to go after, like the Bryce Petty. But in the second or third round, but I wouldn't waste it on the first round. The first round, you need to go after. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted two receivers because they need it so bad often.
There you go. All right. We'll leave it at that. Next on the list, if I could push the right button here, next on the list is the Cincinnati Bengals. I put three things on here. They need an interior O-line. They need another receiver, not named A.J. Green. And they need mental toughness as a squad. I mean, and look, I've defended the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, you know, more than a lot of other guys have. I mean, I first of all, how in the hell do you hate on a quarterback that's taken the dang Cincinnati Bengal franchise to the playoffs 4 years in a row? You can't do it. That doesn't make any sense. Who else would be capable of doing that? Not many. I mean, I saw that they got Denarius Moore to kind of beef up their wide receiver core, but personally, I still think it's a need. I'm sorry. I have no reason, really. I think Denarius Moore is better than anything else that they have as a second wide receiver option, but I don't think he's the answer either. I could be completely wrong, and I know they're not going to replace Andy Dalton because – how would they do any better? Question mark. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
You like Mohamed Sanu? I think Mohamed Sanu had a pretty good year last year, especially when AJ Green was hurt.
He did, but I think it was more because AJ Green was hurt than it was that Mohamed Sanu was good. I mean, he's not.
Yeah, I like him. I like Mohamed Sanu when he was ever at Rutgers. I thought he was a good player. I think he complements AJ Green well, but then also the wide receiver, Marvin Lewis, I think, was injured last year as well. So I think he'll be coming back off the injury too this year.
Yeah.
But I agree. They do need a receiver. I mean, they got tight ends, interior offensive line, just to give Andy Dalton that little more presence, just to protect them a little bit.
I have that same thing
I'd
on
say.
Yeah.
But, like, the running backs are good with Giovanni Bernard and Mac or something like that.
Jeremy Hill.
Right. But I think they're good. I think they're good at running back. I'd say, yeah, they would need another receiver, and then just the interior off the line. Defense just needs to stay healthy. Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of injuries the last couple of years as well.
Absolutely. I mean, they did lose Terrence Newman as a corner, and I mean, you know, he's pretty good. By the way,
but he's getting up in there in age as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's in his 12th year. Although he went to the Vikings, yet another reason they don't need to draft a corner this year. But I'll put it this way. I mean, I have no reason to believe that they won't win the division next year. I think if last year was wide open, this year will still be open, but not wide open, because I think today that it's the Bengals' division to lose, mostly because the Browns aren't involved, and it all depends on how the Steelers' defense responds to all their recent retirements, and we can go ahead and do that to transition. So let's walk through the list, shall we? Brent Keisel was released. He's probably going to retire if he hasn't officially declared already. Troy Polamalu retired. During last week, Ike Taylor also declared his retirement. And some other players have also retired since then as well. Certainly guys not the caliber of Ike Taylor and Polamalu or Keisel, but other pieces to that defense no longer available. I mean, James Harrison's going to be on his way out. He's like 155,000 years old. You know, he's still playing there, but I mean, this is probably going to be his last season. I think he's working on year 13, something like that. I never would have expected to have this as a team need for a Pittsburgh Steeler franchise. But with Roethlisberger at quarterback, I mean, he's going to be good for one or two more years. I like their receiver core, even though Antonio Brown's threatening a holdout. I like their running back core. I truly feel like the Steelers' first-round draft pick should be anywhere they can on defense. What do you say, Chris?
Yeah, I think their defense. They've been neglecting their defense the last few years. They've been aging, and that was the main thing. They've plugged in some younger players on the defense, but really, I mean, they think they have the oldest defense in the league.
Yeah.
So anything on defense, help out. They do need, you know, safety and a corner, you know, to replace Polamalu and Ike Taylor. So I mean, that needs to address their immediate needs, and then as well as you know, in up the front too. It just sucks that Keisel's not there anymore. He's given the can't come up with in the tractor again. I mean, that's kind of cool. He's just drive up on a tractor. I mean, come on.
Sounds like something out of the damn Waterboy.
Right. So, I mean, it's you know, anything defense, you're right. I think they could use some more help on the offensive line as well.
Yeah. I mean, see, when it comes, for years, I've banged on this offensive line a little bit, and then in the very next breath to say, but it's not all their fault. You try blocking for Roethlisberger. It does not look like an easy task. I mean, it's hard for me to throw this O-line under the bus. I can't really do it.
Right. I was just saying, if there's a pick that they need, they're tossing up, then you just need to look at who's available. If there's an offensive lineman that's available, that's on their big board or whatever, they need to try to draft them just to put them in there just as a backup, because, I mean, they've been going for injuries the last few years on their offensive line.
Very true. Very true. So if the board dictates
their main concern is defense.
Oh, yeah. But if the board dictates best available and you got a really good old lineman and you've already gotten a couple defensive pieces in the draft, you know, I think I see where you're going.
And then you also got to see, didn't Dick Vermeil retire this year as well?
He did.
Defense coordinator, so, you know, a new defense coordinator in there. So, I mean, this is a chance for defense coordinator to go after his players in the draft. They haven't really made a splash in the offseason, right, with everybody retiring. But so this might be a chance for the defense coordinator to go after the players he wants for his system in the draft.
Well, Chris, that's very optimistic of you. Personally, if I'm a guy who's coming in to take Dick Vermeil's job, yeah, it's a chance to draft and do what he wants. No, I look at it as I have to try to follow that and find some way to come up with a mean, nasty defense following. How do you follow that act? Like, what? Pop quiz, Chris. Harder guy to follow when it comes to defensive coordinator positions. Would you rather follow Monty Kiffin or Dick Vermeil?
Oh
boy, that went silent.
Yeah. You know, I the way Kiffin is lately, I'd probably say Kiffin. With Dick Vermeil, what you could do, you know, he's known about that smash mouth defense. So if you come in with a different concept, that's the only way you can go. You can't come back and try to do that smash, you know, smash mouth football. We're going to put.
Oh, we lost Chris, unfortunately. He was talking about smash mouth. We're going to punch you in the face. You have to try to follow that act. You can't come out and be soft following that is his point. And he happens to be absolutely right. But I'll say this. I would say that I would definitely rather follow up Monty Kiffin as he retires. Well, he's still technically in college ranks, I think. But I would certainly not want the job of following Dick Vermeil. He's been doing it for decades, and that in itself, to me, makes it a far less desirable job all the way around. So, well, there you go. Chris, we got you back really just in time to kind of wrap up the show here. But let me run something by you here. I'm more bringing this up more to just make fun of it than anything else. I don't really think it's news. But now there's this big deal that San Francisco 49er offensive lineman Alex Boone has made a statement, or there's a quote that he wore out his welcome, that Jim Harbaugh wore out his welcome in San Francisco because he asked for too much. Duh, right? I mean, isn't this what we've been talking about? Is he wanted more money and they wouldn't give it to him? I mean, right? That's news? Why is that news, Chris? I don't know.
It's news because the reporters make it news and the media makes it news. Well, they expect too much of his players and everything like that. He yelled at him and made him hard. Well, that's what a coach is supposed to do. So, I mean, that's why he probably went back to college, because he'd rather say, you know, it's fine. You don't play it like that, then you can be off my team. Yeah, the NFL is a little harder with contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's either contracts or players graduating. You're going to deal with turnover somehow. I mean, Alex Boone was a guy who defended Harbaugh last year during the season. I think that's the only reason why this might be slightly newsworthy, but beyond that, yeah, whatever. I'm done talking about
right.
it. Next question. Whatever. So, yeah, actually, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Weasel Weez was not with us today, but of course, you can find him on Twitter, Stephen Weasel Hurley at Weasel, the SOTG. And of course, you can find our very own firefighting local hero, Chris Rankin, at Hydraulic Uprights, UPRITE.com. That's so awesome. Hydraulic Upright. See, one day I'm going to learn guitar, and that'll be the name of my band in tribute to your Twitter handle. How about that?
As long as pneumatic posts, what's up for you?
That's right. We got to have somebody as pneumatic goalpost as well. So, anyways, that'll do it for us. Next week we'll be previewing the draft and finally some actual legitimate football talk other than getting excited for the release of a schedule. Yeah, and I'll probably watch it too. Whatever. But until next time, everybody, class dismissed.